Welcome to this episode of Games UX, the week of July 22nd. We have a returning guest this week. Nathan, say hello.
Hi.
We're going to be talking about Destiny 2 again this week. 2 weeks in a row, I know, but the idea is that something interesting happened this week and it is worth discussing in the moment. So let's get to it. So yeah, this week something changed. Maybe you could walk us through it, Nathan.
Sure. So Bungie released a new update for the game this week. We actually talked about it on Sunday last week, the 1.2.3 update. And it wasn't a giant update. It's not DLC, but it did come with a little new content, namely the prestige raids, which we touched on. And that was all we thought we were getting. Little did we know, Bungie snuck something else in there that was not visual, like presented to us in any way. Like there wasn't like a little marker, like a quest, like, hey, there's this new thing over here, you can go do it. It was found completely organically by people just playing the game. They found a new thing and they were like, hey, what's this? We haven't seen this before. And then that thing they found led to a new thing. And they just kept falling down and down the rabbit hole, both figuratively and kind of literally. And they discovered this entire new quest line that not only is just new content, but is actually possibly the coolest thing in Destiny 2 so far.
Yeah, I want to be like perfectly clear from the beginning. They've never mentioned anything about this in any sort of public way, right? Like they didn't address it. They didn't respond to it. They didn't talk about it in any way.
Nope.
Yeah, so that's great. yeah, we like, and also is regarding this update, this update was actually pretty thick. Like it had the prestige layers, the raid layers, which is like a lot. Had a number of other small updates. There was enough going on this week, actually, where I think people were pretty happy with the update overall. And then this was just like on the weekend, all of a sudden I started seeing all these videos in my YouTube subscriptions about some hidden quest line. And I hop on Discord, I start talking to you and our friends in the Discord, and all of a sudden, yeah, there's something really interesting to do on Saturday morning.
And we all just like start going nuts. Like we spent our entire Saturday, basically, a lot of us just hammering away on this thing because it was, in addition to just being a new thing, it's also like it was also really difficult. Like it took some of us all day long to just like succeed, and it was fun the entire time. It was, yeah, it was kind of crazy. It was like I thought we was going into this weekend with like a little bit of Destiny stuff to do, you know, maybe we try out the prestige raid layer that came out last week, and now I actually like got my weekend totally hijacked.
And yeah, to be like, this was actually like a straight up new level. It wasn't repurposed old content or anything like that. This was like a new map, essentially, something that normally in a like update Bungie would say quite a bit about, like, oh, we have like two new strikes or whatever. This is like essentially an entire new strike on its own. And
for a game that has had issues with sufficient content to sate the, you know, appetite of its fan base, it's kind of wild that to think about this giant new area and mission, like them not talking about it, you know, because like, and everyone's always wanting new content because there's never enough content to play in this game. And it's been a criticism on occasion. And yeah, they just like, they made this super cool mission. Again, maybe one of the coolest missions in the game. And they didn't even say anything about it. They had to just keep it under wraps because that's what made it cool.
So you trigger it by doing a public event on IO, which is like a fairly rare public event, actually. So you don't know when it's coming. The event comes up and you go kill like a boss that's hidden on the side. And when you do that, it opens up like a portal, and you and your fire team will be taken into that portal when the fire team leader like accesses it. And the actual like level or whatever you'll call it, it's got a 20-minute timer on it. And I'd say the first half of the level is just a ginormous jumping puzzle, which is not normally part of like a strike or something like that. It's far more like a raid mechanic. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes this particularly interesting, is that it doesn't have like the raid mechanics of cooperation necessarily in the battles, but this jumping puzzle is like something you need to learn, which does feel like a raid mechanic and not like a strike.
Yeah, and it's not, it's also not like raid sometimes have these kind of jumping puzzle type things where you gotta like go places in specific orders, or I gotta jump on this platform, now this one, and it's very obvious where you need to jump. Like that's not the case in this level. It's like the the entire time you're moving through these giant chasms, you're moving across these very slim, precarious ledges. Like, am I supposed to go here next? Is this where I need to go? And you're just kind of guessing and figuring it out. And it even compared to like raids, it's kind of its own unique thing too, its own feel.
Yeah, the level design was exciting to me. Oh, well, first off, it was extremely frustrating to me to actually do, but it was exciting to me because even though it was a jumping puzzle, there were so many tricks in it. There were like little things to deceive me to think I was supposed to do something different or that I had reached the end of the road. And in some cases, reaching the end of the road was the end of the road and I had missed the turnoff, right? There were all sorts of like really good, like straight up, like kind of platformer, like thoughts built into this like map. And it was huge. And like learning to do it, this 20-minute timer puts a stress on you the entire time because you're thinking, well, if I can't like get through the puzzle, I got to learn the puzzle quick so I can get more time at the end to like work on all the ads, because the battle part is just absurd. It's probably the most difficult battle in the game as far as like killing ads and bosses.
It's up there. We haven't done the prestige raid layers yet, but those aside, it's one of the most difficult encounters we've done in this game. And adding on to that 20-minute, the pressure of that 20-minute time limit is that if you run out of time, you don't get to just restart it. You have to wait for that public event to come around again, and it's random. You don't know when it's going to happen. And you're just kind of sitting there, you're watching your map like, okay, is it coming? Is this the one? Nope, this isn't the one. And it may pop right back up. It may not pop up for another 2 hours. And it's frustrating to not be able to just retry it, but it also it in a weird way it adds on to the excitement of it. Like it makes the mission feel elusive. It's not a thing you can just throw yourself at over and over. It makes each attempt feel like it's got to really be the good one, because if you don't do it, you have to wait, you know, who knows how long to do it again.
Right. It just increases the pressure even further than the time limit by itself. And this was the type of stuff that generally has been missing from Destiny 2, right? Everything's like softened up a little bit so you can figure it out. You can retry. You can get right back into orbit. You can do it again. Like everything's like meant to be comfortable. And this is very uncomfortable. We spent like literally, I don't know how much time, but yesterday morning, like waiting for the event to come back up, we would just sit around and I was kind of like, man, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. Is it worth it? Those type of mechanics are meant to exclude most people, right? This but the cool thing is that this whole event and the reward is meant to be exclusive, so they're building in the exclusivity of the reward in a really like brutal way. And because of that, I can imagine most people who just play this game for fun will give up on this or feel like it's not worth it. They might be right, but by succeeding at it, you have this feeling that you did something really valuable, and now you have this very like rare, valuable weapon that you can show off because it's really flashy. And I don't know. It's like that feels a lot more like Destiny 1 in a lot of ways, and I can imagine a lot of people are really happy about that right now.
Yeah, and kind of counter to that almost a little bit too, it's a 3-man activity as opposed to a 6-man activity. So one of the restrictions on some of Destiny's other kind of exclusive hardcore content would be the raids, and the raids are really, really difficult activities that require 6 people. And so it feels a little prestigious and a little exclusive to complete those raids, but because people who don't have 5 other people to play with don't get to do them. But this is like a thing that only requires 3 people to do. If you've got 2 other friends who play Destiny, cool, you can do this. But it's at the same time, as you said, really, really difficult. Yeah, and punishing when you fail.
I actually, to counter your point a little bit, is like we probably wouldn't have had any, like if we never did raids, our light level wouldn't be probably, or our power level wouldn't be as high as it is. Raids really help you get that power level up. So I think it would even be harder if you didn't have like a bunch of like people to raid with constantly, because I can imagine if you just don't do the raids a lot, you might be hovering like 375 or something like that, 370, even 360s kind of range. And this would just be like completely brutal at those light or power levels.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is now the meta point section, which is why is this such a good thing for the game? Before we start that, I'd like to say one thing, which is like they did this before. They did this exact same mechanic in Destiny 1. There was a gun that was called the Black Spindle. People were doing a strike one weekend and there was a little hole in the wall. They went sideways and there was a whole other mission. And it was really similar mechanics. Very, very difficult. Bungie surprised everyone. And I remember specifically the Destiny community at that time was just like blown away. Like they were like, this is what this game is about. And I think it actually caused a cultural moment for the game. Like, whoa, Destiny can do stuff like that. And when it came around to Destiny 2, I think people had like the pre-expectation that there would be more things like that from the get-go. And this is like the first real example of it happening in the game. They've actually talked about in Forsaken, the new raid area will have like things that change about it week to week that may have some type of mechanics like this in some way. But just this, like the thing popping up out of nowhere, really surprising the community. They basically did the exact same thing again with different content, of course, and it was equally as effective, I would argue. So why don't they do it every weekend?
Yeah.
Would it completely die out as an idea? I bet it would. I think you have to do probably different things along the line in order to have this level of surprise. But I feel like once a year feels like probably too little.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, one of the reasons why this thing that we're talking about today, the reason why we're talking about it is because it's so unique in Destiny. And yeah, obviously, if they did it all the time, it wouldn't be unique anymore and just be like, okay, yeah, so a new batch of content dropped. There's probably going to be a hidden mission in here. Let's go find it. And, you know, that would still be exciting because the way you would find each hidden mission or whatever would change each time, presumably. But it would begin to become an expectation. We had no expectation for this whatsoever. None. Because it's even though there was some precedence for Destiny as a whole, it was unprecedented in Destiny 2. This was the first time this has happened in Destiny 2. So no one was even sure we would ever get anything like this in Destiny 2. So yeah, they can't do it all the time because then it would lose its charm, but maybe more than once a year.
Okay, let's play trade-off. Let's say you're Bungie and let's say with every DLC, you just add no new strikes. You'll get like a raid and some story missions, but there's no new strikes. But then they can take the effort that they put into those things. So maybe like 3 or 4 of these distributed over the 4 months that a DLC exists or something like that. But just there would be these moments that occur. Like, would that be a better system for delivering content? Good. There, I'll end right there.
I don't know. Like, I don't feel like they have to replace each other because clearly they did this, you know, and we did that. This didn't replace any content. Warmind was gigantic. And granted, they outsourced a substantial portion of Warmind, but I think Bungie has the capacity to do both at the same time. I don't know if I'd want to see. I don't know if I would want this over strikes necessarily. Like just going off your example, because you know, like if we play the same strikes over and over, and it gets pretty dull after a while. Like they're fun for a long time because there's a lot of meat to strikes. But yeah, I couldn't like go without like new content in each of the main areas of the game. Like there's the campaign, there's the strikes, there's the raids, there's the PvP, and I feel like each of those core elements needs like new content at a somewhat steady pace or the game becomes stale. But if they just trickled in like one of these things each every like, you know, four to six months, man, it would keep things interesting for sure. Cause then I guess I'm kind of like countering my own point earlier. Then it would be like, oh, hey, new content. Maybe there's something secret to find in here.
Yeah.
And everybody's interest would be piqued.
Yeah. I'm like playing this like, oh, there should be more of this stuff. But actually, as I think about it, it's like if this ever became the expectation, like, oh, one of these is probably going to come and there's a new DLC, there'll be one of those in there. Mm-hmm. Then it just like, it ruins it. It like, I'd just be waiting for the day and then I'd see the Polygon article or whatever and I'd be like, oh, got to go find it now. But I think it would take out the excitement of how mysterious it all was. That being said, I think if I were Bungie, I might be interested in trying to think about how I could exploit other parts of the game in this way. Maybe like suddenly a new PvP map shows up and like, or there's some way to access it or, you know, things like that. Is, I think it would excite people quite a bit, and you'd have to be pretty creative to constantly come up with new ways that the game could expand. But the element of surprise is clearly advantageous to this game, and I'm sure they're aware of it. It's actually really risky when you think about it from their position to be like, okay, we're going to make this, like, we're going to invest in this level, which is pretty complex. We're going to have people on it. It's a level design. Like, there's a new weapon we have to develop for it, all this stuff. And then we're not going to announce it. That, from like a company standpoint, they have to be like pretty nervous about it. Maybe they work with like media behind the scenes to like have these things pop up and, you know, like be discovered or whatever. But my guess is that it's a pretty risky move on some level to invest in something that, like, I don't actually know if this is like available for everyone who owns the game or if you need like DLCs for it. I guess it's on IO, so probably anyone who owns the game could go there, right?
Yeah, that would make I suppose so. I hadn't thought about that either. It's got a bit of a link to Warmind, but it doesn't require anything from Warmind from like an asset standpoint. So maybe it's available to everybody.
Here's another thought is, a lot of people, I think when I saw people talking about this right as it started happening, were saying words like, what was the first raid called?
Vault of Glass?
Yeah, Vault of Glass. And I do think there was the Vault of Glass element in the jumping sort of moments, like getting bounced off stuff by moving objects, and the descent, the element of descent. That was really fun to have some content like that in this game. I don't know. Did you feel like it was Vault of Glassy?
Yeah. Well, okay. So I didn't actually get the experience of Vault of Glass, which I am upset about to this day, actually, because everyone says it's like the best raid and across both games and et cetera, et cetera. But that's another thing we haven't really talked about or explored yet with this new quest, is that how many layers there are to it. Like, it's not just like the gameplay elements that are in your face, like the jumps, which are like tricky and like hard to like reason about, and that's interesting, and the fight at the end, which is really hard, and the gun you get, which is like really cool and compelling in its own right. There's also like a pretty like strong element of like lore here they're kind of touching on, like, I so spoiler warning if you're listening to this and you haven't seen this quest yet, and you don't want anything to be too spoiled for you, but Zol makes an appearance, the worm god from the Warmind DLC, presumed dead at that point. And there's lore attached to the gun you get that's related to that. And it's not just that the quest has like elements that kind of harken back to Vault of Glass, one of, as I mentioned, what a lot of people consider to be some of the best content in Destiny thus far, one or two, which is a good sign, because it's Destiny showing signs that, like, hey, we hear you guys, like, you really liked Vault of Glass type stuff. We're going to try to go back to that. There actually is direct references to Vault of Glass there's secrets inside of the secrets. This quest that is itself a secret has secrets inside of it that actually are direct links to Vault of Glass, which is like kind of mind blowing. It's like, hey, are they bringing back Vault of Glass in some capacity in the future? Like, Bungie really, like, they put like everything into this. Like, if this is like a hint of things to come for Forsaken or beyond for Destiny 2, they're kind of pulling out all the stops, and it's kind of crazy.
Man, I got straight up goosebumps when you said that, because I was like, whoa, like, I imagine later in Destiny 2's life cycle, people will really be pushing, like, bring back those other raids, right? Like, I'd like to play the raids that I don't get to play anymore because they're not in this game. Wouldn't it be so crazy if, like, you could, like, essentially break into the old raids through the areas that were available in this game in a similar way? Like, somehow you just, like, could break into the Vault of Glass from this type of thing or something, and that's how you would be able to use that old content. That would be so cool. I'm talking out of my butt. They'll never do it, but God, I'd love it.
I wouldn't say no. Like, I'm not gonna say what the specific thing was that's referencing Vault of Glass in this quest, but it leaves the door open, and I'm using that phrase deliberately, for a potential link to Vault of Glass if they want to do it.
That's amazing.
Who knows? Like, it's in any way you slice this new mission, there are things very interesting and unique about it. They really did something special with this.
Probably before we end, I'd probably like to talk a little bit about the weapon itself, because it's extremely similar to the weapon in the first game called Black Spindle. Also, for those who have played played Destiny 1, there was also a sniper rifle in Destiny 1 called Icebreaker, which basically had, it generated ammo. I think it's the only weapon in Destiny to ever do something like that. But the idea is that you can shoot it a lot, you don't have to reload a lot. I haven't used it other than just playing around with it after I got it. Have you used it in any sort of significant way yet?
Yeah, I haven't done a lot with it yet. I'm really interested to see how it fares in a raid, because like it's the guns perks lend itself really well to specifically like boss DPS, like damage per second, like doing lots of damage to bosses really quickly, because it similar to those guns, the Black Spindle and the Icebreaker, which this gun is a very strong harken back to. It can generate ammo on itself, which is kind of crazy for a gun in the heavy slot, which is the strongest weapon slot in this game. If you land 3 precision hits in a row, you get your magazine refilled with brand new heavy ammo. You don't have to go pick up new ammo. So effectively, you could have infinite ammo provided you're a crack shot with it. And it's kind of funny because, again, I didn't play Destiny 1 all the way through, so I may have this a little bit wrong, but from what I understand, the Black Spindle was very similar to this, and they actually nerfed it because they felt it was too strong. And then here they are basically remaking it in its original form for Destiny 2. And I think that's another kind of like message, like subtle message from Bungie saying, hey, we get you. You want your guns to feel strong, your exotic weapons. You want them to feel exotic again. Here's a little taste. And the fact that it's given to you at the end of this secret quest that's really hard to complete just makes it all the sweeter.
I think I agree. This thing is like seemingly going to be pretty overpowered, but I think they did a better job introducing it this time because it has a huge amount of like recoil when you shoot. So it's kind of like pre-balanced, right? Like if you're going to get the precision shots, you have to like still aim. You have to still like take the time between shots. So you can't like fire it as fast as probably the weapon actually can fire, which is kind of cool if you want to keep the thing reloading. So I think it's like, I don't know how overpowered it'll be, but I'd like to believe that it seems like they've learned from the past a little better.
Yeah, it doesn't seem totally broken. It does. Yeah. It's got some balance to it.
Yeah, cool. Anything else you can think of here?
No, I don't think so.
Great. Well, maybe Destiny will not do anything this week, so next week we can talk about something else. But this was a spectacular week for the game. We didn't even talk about like the raid layer. Because we did it after the last episode, right?
Yeah, yeah. We finally, as a team.
We didn't do the raid layer. I'm talking incorrectly. We did a
prestige raid.
We haven't even done the raid layers.
We haven't even done the prestige raid layers. No, that was supposed to be what we do this weekend. We're supposed to do the prestige raid layers, and then this happened.
Okay. Well, sorry. Next week we're probably gonna be talking about Destiny again. Maybe, maybe Fortnite will introduce a side quest or something. Cool. Thank you, Nathan, very much for showing up again and talking about this stuff. And thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy it. If you have any topics you'd like to see us cover in the future, you can message me on Twitter or something like that. That's at Charlie Dietz. There's also a Twitter account for the podcast, so games_UX. Thank you very much and have a good week.